Rob Hackelow, along with Elisa Zizian. And as promised, in this hour, we are focusing on question two. Earlier in the 8 o'clock hour, we had the Yes on Two folks with Evan Falchuk. And in this segment, we're going to be talking about why we should vote no on question two, ranked choice voting. A yes vote would create a system of ranked choice voting in which voters would have the option to rank candidates in order of preference. Votes would be counted in rounds, eliminating candidates with the lowest votes until one candidate has received a majority. A no vote would make no change in the laws governing voting and how votes are counted. Let's see why we should vote no. Joining us, Paul Craney from Mass Fiscal Alliance.
Good morning, Paul. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me on.
All right, so, Paul, basically you would like us to keep the status quo, keep it the way it is, because for question two, if we vote yes, that is making a change. So why should we keep things the way they are?
Well, you know, things are actually changing a lot even this year. You can vote early, and there's, the voting system has changed during this pandemic. But if you vote no, which is what I hope you do, we will be rejecting ranked choice voting. And believe it or not, this is not a partisan issue. It's not even an ideological issue. Ranked choice voting has been tried in many different states and cities, and it has actually been either rejected or overturned. If you look at California, the governor there, Gavin Newsom, and his predecessor, Jerry Brown, experienced ranked choice voting on the city level. And when they became governors, they actually vetoed it. More recently, Governor Charlie Baker came out yesterday, and he also rejected ranked choice voting. Even if you look at Burlington, Vermont, the hometown of Bernie Sanders, they experienced ranked choice voting, and the voters there overturned it. So it's very important that when we look at this, there's in theory and then there's in practice. A lot of these politicians and states and voters that have dealt with it, they rejected it after they've experienced it, and the reason is because the very limited benefit ranked choice gives you does not outweigh the cost associated with it. Ranked choice claims to do three big things. One is get rid of negative campaigning. The second one is get rid of spoiler candidates. And the biggest thing it claims to do is find a candidate with a majority of the vote. And while those things are all admirable, and in certain circumstances some of them can be achieved, the vast majority of the time they don't deliver on those promises. Up in Maine, they implemented ranked choice voting in 2016, and there was a very competitive election up there. Mm-hmm. The Republican congressman was facing a tough re-election. On election night, he won. He got 49.5% of the vote. He won by 3,000 votes. That's a close election.
Yeah.
Through ranked choice voting, his election was overturned, and the second place winner actually won because they counted second and third place ballots. If you're a voter up in Maine and you lived in that district, you feel disenfranchised that the preferred candidate with the most first place votes actually lost. And even in that election, the ranked choice folks claimed that there's no negative campaigning, it'll be less. There was actually a whole lot of negative campaigning. There were two independent candidates running. One was a pro-marijuana candidate. The other one was just an independent candidate. And that person just went around and bashed the incumbent and said, "Vote for me. Whatever you do, don't vote for the incumbent and vote for the Democrat if you have a second ballot." So you know, negative campaigning will continue to exist. Spoiler candidates will continue to exist. But really, the thrust of ranked choice voting, the problem with it, is that in certain circumstances, you can pick the final two candidates standing. Like, you know, great example, next Tuesday, any voter can kind of figure out that it's going to be a contest between Joe Biden and President Trump. That's pretty easy to understand. Yeah. Where it becomes really challenging and where your votes then start getting discarded pretty quickly is when you don't know who the last two candidates will be standing. You know, if you look at the primary that happened in September for the 4th Congressional District where there's 10 candidates, I would be hard-pressed to name all those 10 candidates, even knowing all the positions, then being able to rank them. And unless I could pick who the last two candidates were standing in that election, my vote would be discarded. That's exactly how ranked choice works. Unless you can pick the final two candidates who are standing, in order to find a majority consensus candidate, votes are then discarded one by one until enough votes are discarded to pick who has the most votes at the end. So that's the biggest problem with ranked choice voting, is that it comes up with what we call a fake majority. And that's why, you know, governors like Jerry Brown and Gavin Newsom rejected it. And that's why Charlie Baker yesterday came out against it.
Yeah, the way we have it now, it's just whoever gets the most votes, whether there's two people or five people or six people, just to add up who gets the most votes, and that's the person that won the election.
That's exactly right.
Can you tell me, because I'm trying to get an answer here, and maybe you know, Paul would have better, why are we having all this all out-of-state money coming in to try to make this change here in Massachusetts? Is there any reason behind this? I'm trying to figure out, what is the motive here?
You know, I don't know what the motive is, especially in 2020 when there's a lot of other needs that I think are pretty important. But I will say, one thing that I think is very interesting is that, like I said, Maine now has ranked choice voting. And in 2018, the last election, there was so much negative campaigning going on in Maine that the amount of money being spent by outside groups just on negative campaigning was almost equal to the amount from 2016 and 2014 combined. That's a lot. So ranked choice voting does encourage negative campaigning by outside groups. My guess is that some of these outside interests want to be able to have even a bigger megaphone in elections, so they could be the outside voices telling you who to vote for and who not to vote for. That's just my guess. Yeah. I don't really know. I'm not one of those three big people who are funding this campaign. But you are right. I think it's something like 85% of all the money has been funded by three people. A Texas billionaire who worked at Enron, a family member of the Rupert Murdoch family from Fox News, and believe it or not, of course, the George Soros family.
Ah, okay. That's a familiar name.
Those are the three major funders, and for whatever reason, they want to influence the outcome of this election that will then influence how we do elections going forward.
Ranked choice voting. All right. Paul Craney has been with us this morning. Mass Fiscal Alliance, he says to vote no on question two. Paul, thank you so much for being with us and giving us the time.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you.